Read your Bible. Keep your Bible open there, please. Ezra chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. And maybe we'll read on down through verse 8. All right, Ezra 9, verse 5. And at the evening sacrifice, I rose from the heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blushed to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day, and for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to the captivity, and to a spoil, and the confusion of face, as it is this day. And now for a little space grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. You might be seated. I want to try to preach just a few minutes to the Lord will help us from verse 6 mainly is our text. For our iniquities are increased over our head. I want to try to preach on being in over our head. I'm afraid that's where we are today. And this time, I'm afraid we're in over our head. My mother used to say, there's nine of us children that lived to manhood, adulthood. And there's a creek we used to go to. And she would get worried and say, you can go down there if you don't get in over your head. If the water's real swift, it was two or three warnings. You get in over your head, you'll be gone for good. And so there is a time, both physical and spiritual, if you're not careful, the water will be too swift, the water will be too deep. You get in over your head, they'll have to drag you from the bottom. Help send the rescue guys and drag the river, drag the creek. And then Ezra's day, of course, years before they'd come over and built back Jerusalem, the temple, so on, gates, walls. But in verse 1, now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests, the Levites, have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even to the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, Jebusites, Ammonites, Moabites, the Egyptians, and Amorites. They've been over their head in this day of Ezra because they hadn't lived separated. They hadn't regarded God's word. God had instructed them what to do, how to do it. They refused to do it, and so they did not live separated. Listen, you'll get in over your head in this day. When there is so much compromise and worldliness and sin is made so attractive, you'll get in over your head before you know it if you're not very careful. You'll do this like these folks here did. They got in over their head because they didn't separate. God told them not to mix up. They done according to the abominations of the heathen. That's what's happening today. Our generation is doing according to the abomination of heathens. And some folks, and I'm sorry to say this, I said to a fellow the other day at church, he's talking about, said, Brother Mitchell, said, and of course he's like me, not educating much, and he said, what do you think about cremation? I said, well, cremation is a heathen practice. And he said, you don't mind me asking another question, do you? And I said, no. He said, what's a heathen? So we live in a time now when folks really, they don't know the difference. That's a general statement. All these body markings and all this body piercing and all this abominable things that's going on, not only with young folks, but also with some older folks, is heathen practice. It all come from heathen practice, like the brother said a while ago about the design of the dress. You know who designed that? Sodomites. Sodomites, mostly from Paris, France, designed the clothing that our folks are buying in the store. And some people, if they can't sew, they have to go to yard sale and get something. You can't hardly buy something. Another preacher friend of me went to get my brother and his live-in woman to go to meet one time. And she said she didn't have a dress. And so we went to the store to buy her a dress to go to church. And we went into the store to buy a dress, another preacher friend and me. And the woman started showing us clothes. And the preacher said, "We want one that covers well." And did you know she couldn't hardly find a dress that covered well in that store? And in a great huge store, we've lived to see a time now when the abomination of heathens is being demonstrated among the American people today. And you know what they're doing? Sinking the waters real swift.
Right.
And not many preachers are crying out, trying to stem the tide. Not many folks are giving the warning. You're supposed to step away from them Sodomites and Moabites, Hittites. You're supposed to separate from that stuff. Amen. These folks here, they just went on and look at what verse 2 says. "For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons." Now watch it. "So that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in their trespass." The holy seed was mingled with the world. That's about what's happening today, don't you think so? If it had been separated from the world, you know, that was the heir of Balaam. Balaam couldn't curse the people of God had blessed. And so what Balaam done was taught Balak and his crowd how to mix up with the Israelites. Said, "You put them nude women over there dancing, first thing you know, them Israelite men will be in them tents with them." But that's the error. You know, there's the way of Balaam, the error of Balaam, and the doctrine of Balaam. In Jude verse 11, "Woe unto them, false prophets, for they've gone the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." The error of Balaam today is compromise. Amen. Teach the people of God how to get along with the world ends. Teach them how, you know, we're all going to heaven by grace. Turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. And it won't be too bad, you know, you can play in your shorts. Amen. And it won't be too bad to go down there, let's go and rent the roller rink. You don't have a lock in all night. Say amen. Okay. And you know, listen, that's what these folks here done. They mixed up not only the world, I want to say, I believe in moral separation as well as ecclesiastical separation. You can't be right with God and be in a liberal organization.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're supposed to cut clean loose. God didn't tell me to stay in a liberal organization that's gone into apostasy and trying to straighten them out. He said, "Come up among them and be separate," saith the Lord.
Amen.
That's right. Oh, I feel the Spirit of God pressing me. I've had people shine their designed rings, you know, let me know and feel in my pulse and see for sure, give me that Masonic handshake, you know. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, I preached at Crossing one night, and a fellow said, "Oh, well, what have you got against the lodge?" I said, "What are you doing in the lodge?" I said, "Don't you know there's folks in the lodge don't even believe in God? Don't you know the founder of the Masonic Lodge was a Luciferian? The one that founded Albert Pike was a Luciferian. He believed he was a light bearer. That's why they call it In the Light. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers."
Amen.
2 Corinthians 6:14, I didn't put it in there. You just can't yoke up with the world and yoke up with these organizations and be right with God. The Bible teaches ecclesiastical separation. Come out, don't touch the unclean things. Now that's a good verse to use on marriage, but marriage is not the context. False religion is the context. False religion, that's what you're supposed to come out of. Religion's more dangerous than liquor. Religion's more dangerous than drugs. Religion's the shortest route to hell. The thing that bothers me is a lot of folks are going to hell from a church pew. The devil's going to have you religious or lost than to have you a drug dealer. Deception today is an all-time high. Many fought public self-realism and deceived many. Well, said, well, you know, I know I'm not deceived. I said, well, if you know it, you wouldn't be deceived. Folks that's deceived don't know they're deceived. They think they're right. They argue about being right. You don't have to argue about it. I've seen these folks like the preacher talking about, they protest this and protest that. You can't get them to preach against it in their pulpit. They get out on the street and people say, you know, Paul lived in one of the most wicked governments that the world's ever known. He never spent one day trying to straighten the government out. That's right. They persecuted him. And listen, he ordered those that had to rule over him, even if they was wicked. That is right. Just kind of quiet when I talk like that. You know, we got this charismatic crowd. Got this Catholic crowd. You saw the one world church form after 9/11 in America right up there in the Washington Cathedral. They had Convention Baptists in there. They had United Methodists in there. They had Catholic priests in there. They had them Mohammedans in there. All of them getting together to make great prayers of their own God. Did you notice that raghead prayed in the name of Abraham, Isaac, and Mohammed? And they believe in Allah, which is a demon moon god. And you know, our leaders will say, well, all religions is good. Well, they're good for hell. That's what religion's good for. Amen. And so you got into that straight gate. You got a clean cut loose. That is right. And after you get saved, you need to get in an old-fashioned King James Bible-believing church. That's strange, right? We got all this contemporary music, you know, and all this swaying and swinging and mixing up men and women and all this shaggy hair and stuff. Some of them radio stations that preacher preached about a while ago, I'd rather hear George Jones and Hank Williams sing drunk than to hear that so-called gospel rock. I've been saying it a long time. I'm going to keep on saying it. I wish I had the voice. I'd holler louder. Who ever heard of a bunch of shaggy-haired hippies? Hey, man, they can't even pull their pants up. Wearing earrings and necklaces. You better watch them fellas that wear them necklaces. They may have some lace somewhere else. Listen, if it waters like a duck and it's well put in, it's probably a duck. I am able to be what we are. Praise God. I want to say right here, first of all, I'm a born again, blood washed, King James Version, Bible believing Christian. Second of all, I'm a separated Baptist. Amen. I believe the Bible, brother. That's what it is. If Jesus walked 25 miles, get baptized by a Baptist preacher, and you know why he went over there? John was the only legal baptizer. Amen. He was the one that's baptized in right. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus said they rejected the counsel of God by rejecting John's baptism. If you want to hear from God in John's day, you had to hear from John. It's been 400 years since there's been one voice of a prophet in Israel. Imagine that. That's a whole lot older than this nation is. There hadn't been one prophet. You know why? In Malachi's day, they got in over their head. The priest went bad. The prophet went bad. We live in a time now when the ministry's gone bad. The marriages is gone bad. The money's gone bad. The morals is gone bad. And we've got in over our heads and we are drowned in if we're not careful. That's right. Only one little hope he gives you, and I read it to you. God just left us a little remnant that we might have revival. Amen. I have a little reviving, a little reviving. Get it on the line, man. We've lived to see a day in America when we're going to be real blessed if we have a little reviving. Better watch this stuff. You know that they're getting them in by multitudes. That's right. May God help us. Well, I promise I'm not going to be long. Look at verse 7. Since the days of our fathers have we been in great trespass in this day. Since the days of our fathers. Well, I'd say most of our fathers, we'll run back to about the 40s, we'll say. 40s. Is that all right? Well, in the 40s, we had reviving in America. All it was in a community-wide place at that time was liquor. That's bootleg liquor. Bootleg liquor. Some of you old ones know about that. You don't have to bootleg it now. You get it in the store. Yeah. One fellow buying lottery tickets told me, he said, well, what do you think's wrong with it? He said, it's legal. I said, well, liquor's legal too. That don't make it right. Who legalized it? Is that right? It wasn't God that legalized it. It wasn't Christians that legalized it. That don't think legal now. So in the 40s, it was a little liquor. In the 50s, PD got here. Become a common household item in the 50s. I remember when all preachers preached against it. I remember when Baptist churches would discipline you for going to the theater. You see things on television today, you couldn't see the theater for $100 when I was a boy, and if you could, they'd have sent the owner to the penitentiary. You couldn't show that stuff publicly. I've seen them close down carnivals because women were dressed too indecent, and some of them had on as many, many clothes there as some wear to church now.
Amen.
That's right. Some of y'all too young to remember this stuff. Some of you older ones, you're not as young as you look. So in the 50s, PD become a common household item. In the early 60s, the hippies got here with the long hair and their goods. Oh, yeah. And in the late 60s, the yippies got here. And they was worse. They looked like something from some other planet, you know. They couldn't see or hear. And all this rock music got here with all this beating and banging. Used to be if you'd have tried to got that in any kind of a church, especially a church of God, they'd run you out. And nowadays, that's the mainstay. At the main stage, you can see rock concerts. If you got a television, I've been some places where they had them on, and there'd be a charismatic mess on, and it's worse than a rock concert was in 1960. And in 1973, they got the abortion law passed. I'm trying to show you since the days of our fathers. See, step by step, not all of a sudden. The worst sin, one of the worst sins is the sin of gradualism. Gradually going astray. And when the abortion all got here, oh, there's some folks against it, but I can't hardly believe that the American people would allow that legalized murder in this country like been allowed since 73. And there's been 40 some odd million that we know of. Somebody told me more like 75 million. And at the same time, we've had in the same length of time, we've had over 40 million foreigners come in this country, and most of them's illegal. So they brought the heathens in while we killed our own babies. That's right. And when abortion got here, then in the early 80s, sodomy got here. I never thought we'd ever hear the news and hear news men openly talk. I never thought we'd ever see a day when you get a man elected in a statewide election to a national office and he is an open sodomite. If you had told me that when I was a boy, well, I wouldn't have believed America would ever got there. And in the late 80s, in the early 80s, sodomy got here. In the late 80s, they started talking about same-sex marriage. As far as I know, as far as the book tells, they wasn't even marrying each other in Sodom. There's a lot of sodomites there. The whole thing is given over. They wasn't 10 righteous people. But at the same time, if they married, the Bible don't say. You know, up our big preacher, you know, in this country, Billy Boy Graham, years ago. You know, he said sodomy just like any other sin. It's just a sin. I said, the only thing wrong with that, it's a big lie. Yeah. Sodomy is a sin of perversion. It's unnatural. It's ungodly. It's un-American. It's unholy. There's always been whiskey drinkers, even adultery committers, you know. But sodomy is a perverted sin. That's why God mentions it as he does in the Bible. Certainly there are sins, and there are sins you can commit not being over your head. When you get in those perverted sins, you're fixing to drown. Read it in Romans chapter 1. Oh, you got this much run down, Dave. Said, God just saved anybody. What these sodomites need, if we minister to them, I very well know, I think, what 1 Corinthians 6, 9, 10, 11 says. And to me, Corinthians was a heathen city, Corinth was. And they had got converted out of that heathen idolatry. And there might have been a chance of a boy being raised up and some grown up leading him basically into that just momentarily. But when a fella gives himself over to sodomy and says it's okay, that God loves everybody just alike, and you mean to tell me I can't be saved and be a gay? Those folks are reprobates, and that means God has rejected them for salvation. That's what it means. I know that kind of stuff because we've heard people talk about, you know, anybody can get saved anytime, anybody can repent, anybody can believe. You can't repent unless your heart gets broke. You can't wait unless God gives you some faith. And those folks right there in Luke chapter 7, Jesus talked to them. He said, what shall I liken this generation to? He said, they're like children sitting in the marketplace. We piped to them. They didn't think. You know what he's saying? They're like folks that rejected God so much that nothing moves them now. That's what he likened that generation to. The Holy Ghost singing don't move them. Holy Ghost preaching don't move them. Holy Ghost praying don't. Nothing moves them. Amen. That's what that generation was like. And I'm afraid our generation might be going the same direction. What do y'all think? Oh, listen. We live to see a time now when there's, over a million babies born last year without a legal father. And I'm careful here. This is some people's lost and they don't know and all that. But you know, the Bible uses the word bastard over there in Hebrews. And what we forget so many times is there's a birth when a bastard's born. Right. Yeah. But it's an illegal birth. Right. And there, where he's dealing with that, over in Hebrews, he's talking about spiritual bastards. Right. He's talking about people that get in the church, go through the mechanics, get their name on the church book, get baptized, become a member, and then they can do whatever they want to because God don't count them, they're not his. They're illegally born. Oh, they're born in religion. They fight over some doctrines. One of them has certain standards, and they worship the standards instead of worshiping the sovereign. I've been to a lot of churches where that's what they worship, was standards. Oh, they wouldn't wear a split-tail dress, and I'm against it. They wouldn't hardly wear a short-sleeved shirt, and that's okay with me. Oh, that separation's good, but you better be careful you'll worship standards. Have to worship the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then have the standards because you love Him. You want to be a light for this world. Amen. And everything we do for the glory of God, we do it for His glory. It's a blessing to me. It's a blessing to me. It took me a long time to learn this. And I don't want to forget it. We preach first for the glory of God, not for the salvation of sinners. Amen. If we preach for the salvation of sinners, nobody gets saved, we're defeated. If we preach for the spirit of the saints, and nobody shall can get stirred, we're defeated. But if we preach first for the glory of God, we're not defeated if nothing happens.
Right. Amen.
There wasn't nothing happening when Noah preached. He's a pretty good preacher. One of them said, well, he said, if you hadn't won so many today, you ought not to be a shouting. I said, oh, Noah's going to never rejoice. That's the fact.
Amen.
And Jeremiah preached about 40 years, and they didn't nobody believe him. All they done is persecute him. One of them said, well, we're having a Bible one Sunday, and next Sunday preached in the dust like it was in the days of Noah. I said, one of them's my soul.
Amen.
They didn't have the Bible in Noah's day. You know why? God quenched them. They went in over their head. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, it might make pretty good preaching to say that Noah tried to get folks to get in the ark. Only thing living is wrong with it. It's not so. Noah built a custom-made ark. God told him who was going to go in that ark before he ever started. God gave up on that generation, verse 3 of Genesis chapter 6. And said, my spirit cannot always strive with man. And from that day forward, every thought of the imagination of his heart became evil continually. He sought to do worse than he could do. And we live in there now. People think to do worse than they can actually get done today. That's right. And listen, the long suffering of God waited. The Bible said something about that in 1 Peter 3. While the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. And I think 2 Peter 3 talks about it. Talking about the second coming chapter Peter wrote about down to the scoffers in the last days. Saying where the promise of his coming, such a possibility, Paul thinks he's the word. And he gets on down there to verse 9 and said, but God is not slack concerning his promise. Second coming promise. Has some men count slackness. But if long suffering usward. Not this is the reason he's long suffering. Not the reason that any should perish, but that all can come to repentance. You'll perish if you don't repent, and you can't repent if you're in over your head. That's right. Go too far. My sister said to me, she said, as long as there's breath, there's hope. I said, oh no. Oh no. That might be a good saying, it's not so. It is too late 100 years before the flood. They crossed over, went in over their head. The water was swift. Took them right on down to the flood. You know what Israel done as a nation? Got in over their head. You know what Jesus done? Stood in Matthew 23:37 and wept. And said, oh, Jerusalem, I would have gathered you together. But you would not. And when he turned and walked away, he said, your house is left unto you desolate.
Yes, sir.
You know what they done? Went in over their head. Yes. You know what our generation did? Going in over their head. You know that preacher preached about them families last night? You know, let me tell you something. If you're not careful, your family will get in over its head. They're going to wait till they get 15 inside straighten them out. I agree with one old preacher. He's dead now. And he said, I think you ought to be more lenient on girls before you start correcting them than you are boys. You ought to wait till the girls are 2 years, two weeks old. That's pretty good. I told some people the other day, I said, you got to break them that while they're in diapers. Forget about what the human services said. God got here before they did. Teach them that they have a voice of authority over them at home. If you don't, when they get to the church, then the preacher won't be authority over them. They'll rebel against the preacher. They've got to learn from the parental authority that there's a voice of authority over them. Their will is not the will of God. Their will must be broken.
Amen.
That's why the Bible talks about beating them betimes. You got to break their will. You know, first thing a child does, sets his will against your will. Someone said, well, don't you believe we all got a free will? Well, I said, we're about all free wills. I can say that. Man, you know, he's got a will to act, but he hasn't got a will to will. His will's perverted. His will has come to bondage by his depraved faculties. You know why folks not here today? You know why they don't come Sunday? Their will's not turned this way. They do what their will wills to do. Ain't that right? That's why you see them get in their boat on Sunday morning and head down to Dale Hollow Lake or Kentucky Lake. Oh, that's their will. Then when they come to church, if they have to come to church, and the preacher preaches and they're not saved, and the Word of God starts getting to the first thing their will does is raise up against them, just like yours did. And the reason you've got people that get mad at straight preaching leave is because their will is still under bondage to their depraved, sinful faculties. Their will is not submissive. You're looking kind of funny. That is right. When you get truly saved, your will becomes the will of God. Not my will, but thy will be done. Now, the will of the flesh may rise up every once in a while, but you will take correction from the Word of God if your will has been crushed. They went out from us, that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. If they'd been of us, they'd no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. That's what it says. So you'll be glad they got the Catholics and the Charismatics and the Latter-day Saints and all that done. If they didn't have all that, you'd have to put up with some of that crap. Yeah. Let them go on down there if that's what they would do. Now, I'm just about through. I done been here longer than I thought it would. Verse 13. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds. I'm going to word that in North American language. After all that comes upon us, hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, fires, droughts. After all the correction that God gives us. You know what they said here? After all that come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hath punished us less than our iniquities deserve. We've not been punished nationally near like we deserve to be punished. See, we've willingly and deliberately walked away. Jumped right off in overhead, knowing what the Bible said. We've been preached through what it says. At least people know it mentally, what the Bible says. We know that you can't sow bad unless you reap bad. But America, generally speaking, as a whole, have willingly gone away from God in their sins and trespasses and all these tragic things and natural disasters happening. Listen, yet God's not punished us. I'm wondering why He hadn't washed us all off. Our trespasses deserve more than we're getting. More judgment. But God's left us a few people, a remnant. Thank God. We ought to take a minute out and shout because we've got a remnant. They weren't little remnants, you know. Laugh, we would have, wouldn't we? Now, I believe this. You don't have to believe it. You'd be wrong if you want to. We'll still be friends. We've gone too far nationally. We've gone too far statewide. We've gone too far in our counties. We've gone too far in our cities. And we've almost gone too far in our churches. Some churches have already gone too far. They're not going to turn back. These liberals are a sanctified word for liars. That's what liberal is. You know, it's one that the liberals themselves created. And liberal, that makes it sound nicer. Say that's a liberal preacher. When the truth is, he's a lying preacher. Say he's a liberal politician. When the truth is, he put his hand on the Bible he don't believe, raised his hands toward the God he don't believe in, and swore to uphold the Constitution that he thinks there's nothing to. And he sanctifies it with the word liberal. Did you know that's the crowd that don't believe in the death penalty? Yet they believe in killing unborn babies, can't help themselves. Did you know always talking about this accused fellow that killed half a dozen or killed this fellow? They're talking about this accused. They never said anything about the victim. They tried a guy this week down where I live for shooting a 15-year-old in the back of the head with a 44 Magnum as he run from him. One of them drug heads, you know. And they said, well, if he's found guilty, well, everybody knew he'd give it. At least his grandpa did. They wouldn't let him out of jail. His grandpa had to shoot him. What I'm saying is this. The court system's broke down. Like you can take a large ring and a few $1,000s and get out of any kind of crime. That's right. You can do it down our way. You can pull a few strings like that. Don't get mad at me now. You pull a few strings like that, and brother, you can just slide right on through there. And they say, well, they really didn't have no proof. We got a fellow down there waiting to be sentenced in July that killed his own baby. They said the other day he could get up to 2 years for killing his own baby. They'd have paid him to kill it before it was born. Yeah, you think the whole thing's not broke down in the mud? Listen, we're in over our heads. What we better do with a little room, we better go back the other way and get away from that cliff water. You can't get too far away from it, you may get too close to it. And I don't know, of course, I'm kind of a right-wing crackpot anyway, but them guys are not nice fellas. They're deceivers. And a fellow steal your faith and steal the faith of your kids and steal the Word of God from you and come out and say the New American Standard and the NIV and all that stuff just good is more wicked than baby face nails from Al Capone. At least we knew what they was.
Amen.
Them fellows comes out shining, you know, just like they're the best thing uptown, form these little old ministerial associations.
Yeah.
And all this little old stuff they got going now, and nobody stands for anything much. I'd rather see a fella go too far away from the swift water than to get too close to it and slip off in it.
Amen.
And you know about all of us, the extremists, we're extremists by nature.
Right.
I know there's a good balance in the Bible, thank God. I wish I could find it all. But listen, most of us, we're extremists by nature, and about the only fella God ever uses is a fella that's extreme.
You're
right. Amen. Do you ever notice that? Did you know who the extremist was in Ahab today? Elijah. They said, you're the trouble. You're the one troubling Israel.
Right.
They knew him just as soon as they seen him. And they threatened to kill him too.
Right.
And all, one fellow followed him though. He tried to get rid of him. And he couldn't get rid of Elisha. He said, you stay here. I'm going over yonder. He said, as God lives, as my soul lives, your soul lives, I'm not going to leave you. And he got over, all the way over to Jordan. And said, what do you want out of me? He said, I want to live a portion of your spirit. He said, you've asked a hard thing, but he said, you see when I'm took away, he said, you can have what you want. And a lot of folks say, well, it's easy. Elijah didn't say it's easy. He said, you've asked a hard thing.
That's right.
And you got to get across the Jordan. You know who gets spirit filled? Them that God can't get rid of.
Yeah.
You know who gets saved? Them that God can't get rid of. The first Gentile that Jesus come through, the first Gentile Jesus dealt with when he was here on earth, Mary, he said, this thing was a Syrophoenician woman. He was dealing with Jews all together, and she come over and started, and she said, oh, said, Lord, my little daughter's got with the wrong crowd of school, and got on. No, she didn't say that. She said, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She's for the devil. She confessed the truth about her daughter. Did you know the Lord act like he didn't even hear? And the disciples tried to get him to send her away. He said, it's not meet to take the children's bread, covenant children, take the children's bread and cast it to dogs, Gentile dogs, alien dogs.
Amen.
Wasn't their time yet. Still was the is, you know, Jew first, also the Greek. And then what it said, Jew first, then the Gentile. But she wouldn't leave. She said, truth, Lord, but the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She wouldn't leave. So what Jesus said, just have whatever you want.
Amen.
If you won't leave, you can get whatever you're looking for.
Amen.
That's the one he saves, is the one who won't quit.
Amen.
They'll seek him to live on. The one he fills with the Spirit of God and gives boldness to preach is the one who won't take no for an answer. They stay with God.
Amen.
That kind of folks we need to be. You know, if it's low, if it's high, if it's cold, it's hot, in or out, up or down, whatever. Don't let the circumstances change your way of doing. Just drive your stake down. Tell the devil you're in for the generation, and you're not planning on giving up till God does it. That's when God will do it. You know, you don't have to go to church and have a great move every time. Some folks think they haven't had a great meeting and let somebody run up down the aisle. Well, I like that. And sometimes that happens, but not every time. So sometimes it gets a little dry, so God will use that to help us draw near to Him. Want another drink of water from Him. Amen. Well, I'm glad I'm saved. I hope we don't get in and go the other way. Let's get in the other way over our heads. Let's get in with the Lord all over. That's what we need to do. Amen. Just jump in with Jesus all over. Get in over here. Let him say whatever he wants to. The family may say to you, well, they know you're going too far with this now. What do you expect out of these children? You can't make a duck out of children, they told me. I never will forget what my sister told me. And it's been 40 years ago. My boy is 45, so it's been at least 40 years ago. She said, you mean you don't have a television? I said, that's right. Said, what are you going to do when your kids get to be teenagers and they start wanting one? They won't miss anything they'll never have.
Amen. That's true.
And my boy is 45, my daughter is 42, and neither one of them never asked me to get a television. Of course, they knew there was no use. They said, what do you got against it? I said, do you know if anybody's made a better preacher by watching it?
Amen.
You know if any Christians got more spirit filled by watching it?
Amen.
If you don't know if anybody's made a better Christian, why do you think I want to pay to see their filthy commercials?
Amen.
I don't want to pay that. I'm not going to preach on that. Don't get scared. I could preach on it. May God help us. May God help us to get in with Christ over our head. Just waters to swim. Ezekiel said it's waters to swim in. First he went out ankle deep, knee deep, loin deep, and waters to swim in. Boy, the Lord's got waters to swim in. Amen. May God bless you.
Thank you, brother.